The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Okay, hi everybody, and welcome to our pre-full moon, Pisces pre-full moon meditation. I put a lot of information in the chat box, but unfortunately, I was incorrect about one of them because I gave you the Aries full moon, but in fact, the Pisces full moon begins on the 19th at 2:15 p.m. GMT, and the actual full moon is at 3:53 in the afternoon and 27 seconds. So I hope we don't get disoriented. I was just explaining to Michael and BL that when Pisces energy hits, something happens to me. And so I'm adrift. And let's just hope that I can be spontaneously useful here, because there will be an element of spontaneity. And now you know that Tuya and I are doing the Sacred Pentagram 5-day process for the Pisces full moon. And we just, those are broadcasts, and we just finished the first one from 7 o'clock to 7 o'clock GMT until maybe a quarter to 8 or something. And, you know, I should know the next one's going to occur tomorrow, and it probably will be, I think at 10 o'clock PM GMT, and it will be right together with the Pisces ingress. That's when the sun moves into Pisces. So there's a little arranging and rearranging going on here, and I hope you can stay with us. Whenever we have a broadcast, it's always the same live link, and the webinars are different. And I'm just going to count on BL and Michael here to look at what I put in the chat box, and if there's any no-nos there, they will correct them. Okay, well, we have here the great sign, Pisces. It is the sign, I think, or the constellation most associated with the office of the Christ. He has also Gemini, the head of the cosmic Christ, as it's called, and Virgo, wherein the individual Christ is born. But when it comes to Pisces, it is considered to be a cosmic decanate. And it is particularly a Christ's decanate, just the way Scorpio is the decanate of Hercules, and Taurus is the decanate of the Buddha. So this sign, which seems the very last of all, does open the door, actually, for certain people of a very brave kind into Shambhala. It opens the door into Shambhala as a world savior. And most people finish their fifth initiation, you know, in Aquarius, and they become the world servers, but a few use the Plutonic Neptunian energies of Pisces and enter world saviorship under the influence of Shambhala. And I think that's very important to remember. You know, I mean, conventional astrology says all kinds of things about Pisces, but they have to do mostly with people who are not yet aspiring towards the spiritual life. So very often we find what looks like weakness in this sign. It is primarily a Ray 2 and Ray 6 constellation, but it turns out there's no weakness at all, and in fact, very great strength of a sacrificial kind. The what we have here is the illustration by Joffre. It's kind of underwater, isn't it? And it holds the two fishes. One of them is that part of, well, let's just call it the soul, and the other is the personality. One is swimming towards higher liberation and towards Shambhala, and the other is swimming ever deeper into the waters of space, and matter is considered to be water from that point of view. So every one of us experiences these pairs of opposites. We are so much, in a way, underwater. We are in the dense physical body of the planetary logos. That's where we're living our life right now, and that is considered to be water. As a matter of fact, the cosmic physical plane, from a cosmic elemental perspective, is water. But, of course, Pisces gives the way to escape that kind of suffocation, that kind of drowning beneath the waves. We're drowning and we don't know it, you know. And eventually we are liberated into the pure air of the Buddhic plane. If you've ever been underwater, you know, and you've been there too long, you're happy to reach the surface and breathe the air and see the bright sun, right? Well, that's the way it is for people who for too long have been under the water of matter. I remember a story about the guru and the young aspirant. And the guru is sitting by the pond, you know, where he likes to meditate. And the aspirant comes to him and says, teach me, master. And no response. He comes again later, another day, and says, master, I want to be your pupil. Teach me. No response. Why is this, you know? Because when the student is ready, the master appears, right? Then he comes a third time, and this time the master grabs him by the hair and by the neck and shoves his head underwater and holds it there, not to kill the aspirant, and finally, after a long time, lifts the boy up and you know, when he can speak at last after gasping, the master says, okay, when you were underwater, what was on your mind? What were you thinking? And the boy says, air, master, air. That's all I could think about was air. I needed air. Okay, it's the symbol of the Buddhic plane and the first of the divine plane, so it has its symbolic basis. But the master said something very appropriate that I think we should all remember. Okay, when you want wisdom as much as you wanted air when you were underwater, then come back and see me, and I will teach you. So, you know, there has to be such an aspiration to really be worthy of the kind of instruction that comes from hierarchy, and we cannot be lukewarm. When you look at this character of Neptune, you know, there are many people with a strong Neptune or Pisces that actually, I think Joffre caught something there. They do look something that way. And Neptune is not always the sweet and kindly planet that we think of. You know, it has the second ray Mona, the sixth ray Sol, and all that. But it also is responsible for violent storms on the water in response to the wind. And I think, you know, people who are Pisces, strongly Pisces one way or another, they do learn about that. When the banner over here gives the theme of Pisces, I leave the Father's home and turning back I save. Sometimes it's referred to as the Father's house, but the home gives an idea of the intimacy of it. What is the Father's home? You know, this if I can, I've got so many things here. Right. This is the Father's home. This is the Father's home, but especially the monadic plane. That is what the Father's home really, really is. Okay, I leave the Father's home. Who am I? Well, I am that part of the monad that went forth on a great pilgrimage into the lower worlds, into the worlds that are ruled by Brahma. I came from the realm of Vishnu. The monad is pretty much Shiva Vishnu in a way. And I descended through the various elemental kingdoms, and finally I made the turn and rose through the mineral, vegetable, animal, human, the kingdom of souls, and then again, once again, I completed my pilgrimage and I became a planetary life. So I leave the Father's home, and turning back, I save. The planets involved here are Jupiter in the Orthodox sense, and of course for the average individual who's, you know, not just starting out on the path of evolution, Jupiter is faith and fulfillment and vision and the belief in all kinds of good, high, charitable, supplementary energies that really open doors and bring you forward. Of course, it can also be, if I may say, the engulfing wave of matter, which can overwhelm the consciousness of the rising jiva and get it all entangled in material expression. So too much fulfillment of a lower kind really kills the consciousness. Jupiter rules the ancestral gods, and they were the opponent of Narada, who basically is Sanat Kumara and represents Venus. And so all kinds of normal living in the lower worlds came under Jupiter, but not for Narada. There we had the chaste attitude enjoined upon the rising disciple, and the extraction out of all of those material, familial, lunar attitudes. In other words, Jupiter is exalted in the sign which the moon rules, that is, namely Cancer. Now, maybe the surprise for many of us when we get into esoteric astrology is that we see Pluto so strong here. Pluto is the Lord of Death. Well, you know, when you study some of the terrible people in the world, you know, Pisces and Pluto will be very prominent, and they're involved in depriving millions of people of their form, you know, mass murder and things like that. But at the same time, there is the ability for the disciple to sever the threads which bind him to the lower worlds and to glamour. We'll get into this. There's a clarification and a great detachment which is needed that Pluto provides. And finally, you know, it leads into the realms of Shambhala, where Pluto has a prominent role to play. And, you know, if we're attached to the lower realms, okay, we can be identifying with the beingness of the lower realms, but not the forms. And we'll never, you know, get to Shambhala if we're identified with and as those lower forms. Now, what's not shown here is Neptune, and Neptune is considered to be a special ruler of Pisces. It rules Pisces where humanity itself is concerned. And maybe in a certain sense, Neptune is the most powerful planet in this entire second-ray solar system, because it has the second-ray monad. And so we see kind of a connection there between the Christ, the Pisces decanate, Neptune as the ruler, and a kind of second ray compassion, which, I mean, Christ is Neptune from a certain point of view. So Neptune can, in the lower sense, lead to illusion and all kinds of misguidance, but in the higher sense, it leads to identification, which is one of the great abilities of the Christ. As DK has said, if you turn to the 17th chapter of John, I think it is, there is the acme of identification as enunciated by the Christ. And he was really embodying at that point a great expression of this very sacred planet, Neptune. Now, I'm sorry. I just want to say that here in the chat box, BL has put in where you can find Francis Donald's illustrations, you know, and I think they're very important. Here, you know, the person is being born out of the chrysalis under the influence of the moon, and the first ray Lord is assisting this kind of liberation. If you really think about it, Pisces finally is a great sign of liberation. Francis has some excellent things to say about that, and let's just see maybe some quotations from Master DK. Well, you know, there's so much to be said here, and I just recommend that you go to, I think it's Makara, and you've been given the place where you can go. More information on Pisces rulers and information from Francis Donald can be found on the Esoteric Astrology tab at the Moria Federation using the following link. So the whole idea is about preparation for death. But what is death? From a certain point of view, it's entry into a wider life. So the candidate retreats deep within himself to a place that stands between the night of the form world and the dawn of that which will follow. You can see the dawn, and here's the night, okay? And so he is somewhat between. He is swayed and turned by both, and as he struggles against fear, the moon's troubled waters fill him with doubt. Here is the moon, but we all know that it has still a vampiristic and negative effect upon the life of Earth due to ancient history. In the form ever clings to the past, while the inner spark, the true monad within us, leaps towards its source. And the source is the pure being of the universe, but there are many temporary sources along the way. In the midst of his struggle, unseen and unheard, a Lord of Will, there he is, you know, looking very willful there in the background, okay. A Lord of Will spirals from the inner realms into this outer place. His presence fills our seeker with peace. In this moment of profound calm, the gateway into life more abundant, and that's a higher quality of Neptune and Jupiter as well, in relation to Pisces, flashes across the disciple's inner vision. And he realizes that death, as he has learned to view it, is an illusion born of fear. He releases his grip on the past, and the form world loses its hold on him. That's the kind of detachment we're talking about, which is liberation into Shambhala eventually. He shifts his point of attention beyond the chrysalis in which he is taking form, we might say, as a ever more advanced spiritual being. He shifts his point of attention beyond the chrysalis, which now appears to him as a binding sheath, and following his sutratma, the life thread, you know, the silver thread that has anchored him in his body, passes through the narrow passage. It's a rebirth, really. And all of us are awaiting various deaths, which are actually rebirths into higher vibratory realms. Here's a few things in relation to Pisces that DK wrote. The first ray is the controller of the death drama in all kingdoms, a destruction of form which brings about release of power and permits entrance into light through the gateway of death. DK tells us we awaken on the other side, free of the weight and the presence of that veil we call the body. And of course, life is much wider and broader. The disciple comes through Pluto under the destroying power of death, death of desire, death of the personality and of all which holds him between the pairs of opposites. For practical purposes, what are the pairs of opposites? They are soul and personality. They are vertical pairs of opposites. In order to achieve the final liberation, now this is the utmost statement here. This is the statement that should absolutely be remembered whenever dealing with whenever dealing with Pluto. And I can't quite, there we go. Pluto or death never destroys the consciousness aspect. So even though the form should drop away, there is new perception and new vitality of that which remains. Master Moria sort of bewails the fact that we're so hampered here by the body, and as soon as someone dies, they become, he says, immediately courageous. Well, I don't know who he's dealing with, but apparently there's a lot more incentive to be courageous when you've dropped the body. Pisces, it is the interplay of these dual potencies, first and second ray, because, you know, after all, the first ray of Pluto, the second ray of Jupiter, and really the sixth ray as well, which precipitates the process of transmutation and eventual escape through death. Okay. Pisces governs the feet, hence the whole thought of progress, of attaining the goal, and of treading the path of return has been the underlying spiritual revelation of the great cycle through which we are passing. Okay, well, there's so much, you know, and you probably know about it, but I have taken esoteric astrology word for word, line by line, paragraph by paragraph, and offered my interpretation of whatever I found there. So if you want to have a deep study of these matters, not that I'm saying I'm always correct, but a deep study, please go to Makara, and I think also even on YouTube now, it may be there, and you can begin listening and viewing the videos that give commentary on the entire book of esoteric astrology. Obviously, I don't have time to go into all that now, but it's such a deep book, and DK says it's his most occult book because it is, after all, dealing only with energies. That's how he looks at it. Okay, so I think there's another one here called Chrysalis. And, you know, Francis wrote this as kind of a continuity here. And so he begins with the magician. And the chrysalis gives way to this particular image, and we have the rider on the fish in the turbulent seas and always reincarnating. And if you look very strongly back here, there are the vehicles of all the dead fish that have been left behind. Let's see if we can just say a little about this. Okay, so we've just read the other one a little bit. The eye of the soul upon the reverse wheel, The soul, that is the consciousness, proceeds to detach itself from the personality. Now, are we doing that? We had better. And reattach in consciousness to the, quote, one who sent it forth, that is, the soul itself and later pure being of the monad. Such is the climaxing story of Pisces. So what does it say here? Using a different set of metaphors, the eye of the soul, and I think we're seeing that in the, there's the sun and the moon, it's the eye of the soul, it's the great pairs of opposites depicted there. The eye of the soul depicts the next stage of the Piscean process. A fish representing the vehicle of the personality consciousness and its rider, the captive soul, you know, the lower fish, have together navigated the waters of the lower quaternary, and, you know, that's basically mind, emotion, ether, and dense physicality. They have navigated the waters of the lower quaternary for countless eons, inexorably drawn by his monad, and we're all drawn on by that great center from which we departed. The little one, that is the emanation, which we also are, urges the Piscean vehicle to lift itself beyond its own watery element, and together they emerge from the dark waters of substance. But in the rare atmosphere of soul contact, the fish, which is the personality aspect, occultly dies. Or let's say it no longer has a will and life of its own. It is a perfect servant of the personality of the soul and has capitulated completely to the will of the soul. And if you look closely, says Francis, you'll see the night sky filled with those fish who have gone before. And we look at that. This represents the transformative agency of Pluto, for as DK says, Pluto never destroys the consciousness aspect. Well, there's a lot we can get into there. And I do recommend, you know, Francis has done a lot of wonderful things within the context of his programs and in the Moria Federation. And the first work that he was doing was to explore the signs of the zodiac and then sacred geometry and now the secret doctrine, which I'm sure many of you pick up on the monthly webinars. So I'm not going to get into all of it, obviously, but I'm just offering you the incentive to go to the Moria Federation and look under esoteric astrology and then read more deeply into some of the meanings, especially at the time of the full moon. I also want to say that Tuya and I are undertaking an experiment, and I'm offering the solar fire rituals now at the time of the new moon. So be aware of that, because, you know, for music and meditation, because, you know, we have such a very crowded schedule around the time of the full moon. So maybe, in fact, there'll be a little more space around things if we do it that way. Excuse me. Okay, friends. So now let's get into it. And I'm glad you're here. And let's see if we can enter into this very sensitive sign, and a sign which promotes sensitivity and also a rare form of courage which is necessary for detachment. I think, you know, DK gave out in some of his papers, which I think we can, where can we find them? I think they're on Makara actually now, the horoscopes of the abiding horoscopes of some of the masters, like we would find Kuthumi to have much Gemini and Pisces. And it looks like the Tibetan could be there, or at least the suggestion would be that he would have Gemini and Taurus. And I've always speculated that the Christ has Libra and Pisces. But what looks to me as possibly abiding signs of the Buddha would be Taurus and Pisces. So, you know, the saviorship angle is there, and maybe you can find that on Makara. We have just so much material. It's like a university right there on that website, plus our own university website, plus the SRI USR website. There's plenty to study, plenty to learn, plenty to apply. Okay. Now, let's get into a more meditative state here. And this is the meditation with which we are familiar, though obviously it's never the same, and everybody does it differently on different occasions. So we're still a couple of days out from the actual time of the full moon. The ingress is coming in on the early morning on the 19th here in Europe, and then later in the European afternoon comes in the full moon itself. Antuya will lead that. So anyway, we're probably here in a day of, we might say, a day of preparation. And we are aspiring, I think, on this day. And tomorrow we are dedicating the mind and the personality to the reception of the Pisces energy. We can do all kinds of things and have to. And, you know, many of us are, let's just say, we're working for a living. We have to show up. We have to do certain things which seem mundane. But okay, there's the way of being inwardly receptive, even in the midst of outer activity. I think it's one of the skills of discipleship, and we have to learn it. And then will come the day of safeguarding, where we receive and hold the energy, and depending on whether you practice the 5-day or the 7-day method, there are different attitudes on each of the days: registration, sense of expectancy, and finally confirmed belief on the outer chain. The hierarchy actually has a much more rigorous schedule. The whole month is an ascent and a descent. And maybe when, you know, we're members of the hierarchy, we can sustain that kind of point of tension without interruption. Okay, so we withdraw our consciousness from the personality and its vehicles. We recognize ourselves as the soul in incarnation, the consciousness plunged into the elemental vehicles, but we are still really a part of soul consciousness. Some higher consciousness is our roots, even though we may simply be, most of the time, conscious of body, ether, emotion, and mind. So we withdraw from the body. You know, I have a body, but I'm not that body. I have these electrical states of vitality, but I am not them. I have feelings, plus and minus, attraction, repulsion, desire, and so forth, but they are external to me, to what I really am. I have a mind with many thoughts and processes, but again, it's my instrument, and it's not my pure identity, at least at this stage of evolution. So then what am I? What am I? I am the soul, the consciousness, and deep, deep within the soul is the observer itself, the fundamental being out of which all things come. So we merge ourselves at first into a deep sense of being the observer, the consciousness behind and within all of the surrounding vehicles. And we know that we could be separated from any of these vehicles, and our beingness, our identity, our true nature would be untouched. They could all fall away and we would be what we are. That has to be realized. So we'll merge ourselves deeply into the soul realm of light and love and sacrificial will. A synthetic realm and a realm in which the monad and its extension, extended energy, sits at the very heart. So we tune those things in, and other perceptions out. Try to find yourself as that philosophically substance, that which stands beneath and under stands. Pisces is a great sign of loving understanding. So we merge with what we consider to be the group soul. At first there are world servers, and maybe we can number ourselves among them. And since our unity with the world servers and our unity with men and women of goodwill all over the world, whatever language they speak, whatever country they live in, somehow there's a unity there, not a separation. And in fact, really, there's only one soul in all humanity and one consciousness with many apertures. And that consciousness is our consciousness, really. And the being that substands that consciousness is our being. This is a great sign of identification. And when Pisces is strong, we can learn the identificatory arts, how to merge with the apparent being of another, only to discover that it's really your being too. So when we want to develop these deep states of identification, we can use this second ray mantra. Look it up on your CD-ROM, you know, you'll find it with all the six others. They're very interesting. Naught is but me. not is but me, with a capital M. Nothing personal about it. The me that is truly impersonal, not is but me. And you've got to practice that. One day it clicks, you know, and you're free from the form of what you are observing, and you find the essence of it, and it's identical with what you are. Not is but me. We want to project an imaginative antikarana into the higher worlds where the masters focus. And in order to do that, we focus very much at the mental unit, that area, right here on the fourth subplane, we focus there. And we're going to draw inwardly, draw into that area, into that what's called a pool of retained energies, the energies of the soul. First of all, we let a kind of line of energy between the astral and the buddhic plane play through and pass through this area in which we are going to retain soul energies. And maybe some of you have seen Francis's drawing of his illustration of the Antikarana, so it's very good and gives you the idea of what we're dealing with. The seven-colored Antikarana with two colors being most important, your soul color and your personality color, but when doing this kind of group meditation, maybe just the color indigo, the most important. And so we draw in the energy of the knowledge petals of the soul. We imagine that knowledge from the soul comes into the pool of retained energies. More light and love from the love petals enters into the pool of retained energies. And sacrificial, willing mentality is drawn in, the sacrificial will of the petal number 7, 8, and 9. And in the realm of synthesis created by Buddhic energies, we draw in the synthetic perception of the synthesis petals. So we can see in wholes and not just fragmentarily. And finally, the jewel and the lotus with the extended monadic powers, we draw in, or imagine we do, that great will and presence of the monad descended to the higher mental plane. And so now, all these retained energies around the mental unit synthesize. The connection between the astral and the Buddhic plane is also present, and we will use a word of power I see the greatest light. That will be our word of power. We imagined a kind of indigo coloring into the bridge, which is passing through the retained energies. And we're going to, as a group, soul-infusing personality, see all those extractions from the egoic lotus, those were types of infusions. So as a kind of a group, a soul-infused personality, we're going to project a beam of vibrant light, white light, upwards, inwards. And it will be met by the descent of energy from the triad. So the way we'll do this, we'll sound the outward om, and inwardly three times, we will project on the second ray note, one of them anyway is a G. So outwardly you sound the om, inwardly with great concentration at a high point of tension, you intone, I see the greatest light. As if from the monad and its personality, the triad, the father aspect comes forth and meets at a blazing point the rising projection. Our projections yet do not really reach the monad, nor do they reach the highest two levels of the Atmic and Buddhic plane, which are reserved for Chohans of the sixth and seventh degree, but in our act as if method, we as a group will receive a response from the wisdom area of this higher impersonal sphere. I see the greatest light, and that light will guide us in our meditation. We can imagine that in that center where the will of God is known, the power of Shambhala can, with its unfettered enlightenment, unchained enlightenment, can somewhat reach the group and reveal something of the divine will. Well, what's it called? Love eternal, light supernal, peaceful, silent will. Love eternal, light supernal, peaceful, silent will. So the group is at least imaginatively into the area where the members of the hierarchy are always focused. So we give our solidarity, our salutations to the elder brothers, and we pledge our cooperation. Salutations to the Christ, the Lord Maitreya, the master of all masters. Salutations to the three masters with whom we most closely work, or whose influence we seek to wisely absorb, Master M, Master KH, Master DK. It's almost as if you can see the Christ surrounded by a triangle of the Avatar of Synthesis, the Spirit of Peace, and the Lord Buddha, and another triangle external to the internal triangle, consisting of Master M, Master KH, and Master DK. First, second, and third aspects. Salutations to the Master Moria, the head of all esoteric schools and organizations. Salutations to the Master Kutumi, whose ashram is most involved in preparing for the reappearance of the Lord Maitreya the Christ. Salutations to the Master Jwal Kul, who trains the aspirants for initiation and is the messenger of the Masters, having given to us so much of the work of Blavatsky and even more through Alice Bailey. These are real beings, and their presence can be contacted by the group. Salutations to your own master, however you conceive him to be, or know him to be. Salutations to the spiritual hierarchy of our planet. And as a group, we raise our thought, at least our imaginative thought, to Shambhala, the center where the will of God is known, and with deepest reverence and in humility, attempt identifying together as a group soul to attune somehow with the energy of Sanat Kumara, the divine will, the divine purpose of our globe and our planet in general. We attune. The purpose, guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. The purpose of Sanat Kumara, representing the purpose of the planetary logos, representing the purpose of the solar logos. May this energy of purpose truly guide our expression of the will. May it be spiritual will. And we sound a long internal silent Om and feel as much as possible the group imbued by the energy of Sanat Kumara. And I think we will know when we as a group and in our groups are truly guided by the higher will and purpose, rather than simply our own aspiration, as necessary as it may be. Now we come together as if at a point of tension. Wherever we may be on the globe externally, we merge with each other in a point of tension. We're all together in this utterly compact point, which rides above a golden pathway which leads into the heart of an indigo sun, and there we will, as if, meet the presence of Master DK, that great expert in ray planetary zodiacal energies. The golden pathway with us above it shortens and shortens and shortens and shortens until our point, with all of us present with each other in no space at all, enters the indigo sphere. And here we will be guided as if by the attentive consciousness of Master DK, and we will seek, through holding our point of group attention, to become, as it were, outposts of certain aspects of his consciousness. Not the entirety, of course, but enough to give us some sense of the kinds of energies which are now available. And they truly do swing into effectiveness during this period of the full moon. So we raise our consciousness then towards the planetary rulers of Pisces, and first we will, they are Jupiter, Pluto, and Neptune, And in general, for Jupiter, the beneficence and generosity, eventually selfless generosity. And for Pluto, as the esoteric ruler, the power to purify, to purge the personality of all hidden obstructions to soul infusion. We just throw out the obstacles. And again, Pluto hierarchically to negate and even destroy the power of the personality as an inhibition to the expression of the soul, and even to destroy the causal body at a certain point. Pisces and Pluto, I think, are much involved in the fourth initiation. And finally, Neptune. It's a special ruler, and it conveys transcendent and transcendental compassion and the power to identify with all aspects of the world soul, the anima mundi, the soul of the world. That identification is really important. We have to work at it. So first, it's as if we're confronting or thinking about the largest of all the planets in our system, the presence and power of Jupiter conveying something we all need: faith, hope, charity, benevolence, selfless service, uplift, enthusiasm, inspiration, vision. From Jupiter, the entity Jupiter, these things come and influence us, and we can partake. And we will imagine that the energy of Jupiter flows into our group or groups with its benevolence and its conveying of these uplifting qualities. We will use a sort of blue note, again the G. We imagine it flowing in. It's as if we have a little bit of the gift of Jupiter, a great planet which brings all things together into cohesion and unity. And we need, you know, to get rid of those artificial boundaries which seem to divide up the elements of the whole. They're not really real. Jupiter can help us. Then we change our focus, and lately the space exploration has given us some dramatic pictures of Pluto. Amazing. So it's both the esoteric and the hierarchical ruler of Pisces. So first, we'll ponder on Pluto as the agent for the purification and expurgation of all impediments that are hidden in the depths of the aura. And we understand then that Pluto is killing all desire for life within the worlds of illusion, as if we could really gain something from that. Think about that and let that aspect of Pluto, the purification aspect, which is now affecting so much politics, so much the church, let it flow into our groups. And I'll use another note, a C sharp here. And may Pluto purify our group consciousness and also our individual consciousness. But perhaps the group can be influenced by the hierarchical aspect, and Pluto will be acting as an agent for the spiritual triad and the monad. In that guise, it is much connected with Shambhala, and it conveys the power to cut away and destroy all limiting ties that bind the soul to the perception of time and space as ordinarily conceived, releasing it into the timelessness and spacelessness, the non-locality of the spiritual triad and the monad. Think about that for a minute. So Pluto's not going to kill the consciousness. It's going to destroy the veils which prevent the full expansion and increasing depth of consciousness. The upward pointing arrow of death, that is the symbol of Pluto. He tells us the true symbol. So let us use that same note and see Pluto involved in a great act of freeing, of abstraction, an unbinding, a cutting of the threads in our groups and individually. Cut the threads which bind the two opposing lives together. Cut the threads, the sharp shears which bring freedom. So maybe we can learn what it's like really to be free of those lesser states and forms with which we so readily identified. And finally, though it is a special ruler and related to humanity very much, let us consider Neptune with its transcendent soul influence and its transcendental monadic influence to remove all those egoistic barriers and boundaries, artificial separations between human beings and communities and nations and hemispheres, such that the oneness of humanity, its one soul, its one spirit, are experientially realized through the power of identification. So let's let that Neptunian flow bring into our groups the power to identify with the essence of all kingdoms in nature, and especially the human kingdom, flowing in and finding ourselves within the other. And as it was said of the Christ, he knew what was in man, because for him there were no barriers. I'll use a note, you know, converging upon the indigo, an A flat here. The power of identification flowing into our groups and into humanity increasingly. Neptune, the great dissolver of artificial boundaries. So we are equipped with inclusiveness and purification and detachment and identification, all of which point very much to the first and second ray nature of Pisces through its rulers. And here we are in a second ray solar system. The soul ray will always be that. And the monadic ray may ultimately be that as well. And we are monadically little units within the sun. We find our home within the great solar logos, monadically, wherever else we may go on the great journey. So within this, God is love, God is a consuming fire of love, within that sense that we are all of us children of the solar logos, somehow emanations of the solar logos, with that sense and carrying our sense of identification even further, because, you know, Neptune is ruling the solar flames. Neptune and the sun, we will sound the Om confirming this idea that our home is within the solar logos. I'll use the second ray note, G. That sense of fiery unity should increase. We don't want to exit such a meditation simply as our personal selves. We want the deeper levels of identification and the truer identity to emerge. We lift ourselves into space, as it were, towards the great constellation, Pisces. And its peculiar light, which is very inspiring, the light of the world. This is the light revealing the light of life itself. It forever ends the darkness of matter. Ponder on that for a moment and ponder more later. From Astrology 330. The light of the world. This is the light. Revealing the light of life itself, it ends forever the darkness of matter. And the cycle seems to go on, you know, because the very next sign is Aries, identified as it is with the light of life. The light which reveals the life aspect and stands for it, embodies it. So we really are in the realm of being here, because being is the essential life. So the rays we're aware of, rays 2 and 1, and monadically 2 of Neptune, but 6 also. And 2 and 6, very much 2 and 6, coming through Pisces. And its identification with all that leads us closer to the abstract reality, the life aspect. Not so much the form as that which is interior to the form. And very subtle. So now, for some minutes, we're going to ponder the mantra, which is exactly what we've all done as monads. We'll take that into our silent group meditation, and we will see what the higher energies convey to us of the meaning of this and what it means in our own monadic pilgrimage. I leave the Father's home, and turning back, I save. Turning back, the journey on the rising arc after descent, turning back, rising through the plains until the Father comes forth and greets the Jiva, the Son, who is the Father anyway. I leave the Father's home, and turning back, I save. Let us ponder. I leave the Father's home and turning back, I save. I leave the Father's home ages ago and turning back, I save. I restore the life forms that I meet to a higher point of tension and where possible, to the essence of identity until they re-become in full consciousness the monad they have always been. We still have, you know, some time to ponder on this great mantra, maybe another day and a half before the actual full moon, the ingress into Pisces is coming. So from the heart and the head center of the one about whom naught may be said, and through chakras of that great being, which represent the second and the sixth rays, great constellations through which those rays pour, and those being the main rays now of Pisces, probably conveyed by ray lords of a very high nature who gather before the throne of the one about whom naught may be said. So down through his chakra system and into our particular higher system, the seven solar systems of which ours is one, and stimulating, of course, the heart center of that system, which is very much our solar logos, and maybe another star for the sixth ray. And entering our solar system, where it touches Jupiter and Pluto and Neptune, and gathered into Shambhala under the law of assembly, and its saving energy passed on to every monad and to every soul, and as much as possible into the energy system of every group and every human being. Remember that descent where we have Sirius, Pisces, hierarchy, and also the planet Uranus, and the heart center, and the solar plexus center, and the heart center. So we should emerge from this period of Pisces with a greater intimacy with all forms of life, and with the ashram, ashramic intimacy, a greater spiritual intimacy that no barriers can prevent. And so over these next hours and over the next day and a half or so, until our broadcast on the full moon and taking in the ingress tomorrow night about this time, a little bit later even in the early morning, here in Europe, we live with this very, very powerful, intimate, fusing, blending, synthesizing second ray energy. We try to carry love and wisdom to everybody. And in as much as we can do that, we are blending, we are told, our will with the large purpose of the will of God. So, before doing the great invocation together, let's send some saving energy to areas on our planet where humanity really needs help, be it in the political sphere or the religious sphere or where the military is involved or where starvation is occurring and privation is occurring. You choose your own target to send the saving Piscean energy into that situation, ameliorating it, improving it, and to reinforce that again, and you can continue to send that energy in over the hours that lie ahead, and even afterwards, the Om, as you visualize the saving Piscean energy entering areas of real need. Oh. before we do the great invocation, remember tomorrow at 10 p.m. GMT, we'll have the ingress, and before that, as part of that, we will have the sacred pentagram approach, and then later in the day, at 2:15 p.m. GMT, we will have the exact full moon broadcast, and the exact full moon is at 3:53 and 27 seconds in the afternoon of the 19th. So let's really be as sensitive as possible during this time of heightened sensitivity. And now, the great invocation. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Thank you, everyone. And, you know, hold your point of attention and get intimate with this Piscean energy, which reveals so much that is normally hidden as it lifts the veils. And tomorrow night, we'll be working with the ingress and also the sacred pentagram, and then later in the afternoon on the 19th we'll do the exact full moon moment. We'll continue with sacred pentagram for a couple of days, and we'll distribute this energy as best we can, having felt it, knowing what it's all about, having been intimate with it, having it pervade us. We will find a way to rightly distribute it. Thank you for being here. Thank you for meditating. And it's not over yet. Just hold your point of tension the best you can so that these energies really come to you and you can do really something with them. Okay. Many blessings, lots of love. See you before long.